What is up, all my Nexus family? It is your host, Dr. Daniel Kimbley, and you are tuned into another episode of the Nexus Podcast. And on this week's episode of the podcast, we're going to talk about something that is long, long overdue in light of our current events in the United States and worldwide. And what we're going to talk about realistically has to do not just with the coronavirus, but with fear in general. And what I want to share with you is how language actually shapes your reality. So in other words, the words that you use are shaping the world that you are living in. And I'll explain more when you kick back, relax, and enjoy this episode of the Nexus Podcast. So all of this conversation that we're about to have is actually coming from a conversation that I have with my guys earlier this morning. Every Friday, I do a phone call with a few of my closest guy friends who also happen to be chiropractors and entrepreneurs. And one of the things that we were talking about is, after we got done talking about the craziness that has been with the coronavirus, is, you know, how it's shaken up the economy, how it's shaken up family life, how it's shaken up home life, how some moms are loving homeschooling, other parents are hating it. And there's a list of things that go on and on and on about. But one of the things that I really realized and I've been thinking about has been on my heart, likely you've heard me talk about it if you're in the office this week, is how language shapes our reality. And so when I talk about language shaping our reality, literally what I mean is that the words that you use will create the world that you live in. And I'll give you some examples of this. And I think there's a very scientific explanation as to how this happens and how this works. But before I get into the science of it or the physiology of it, one of the things that I want to share with you is this word that has been driving me crazy over the course of the last few weeks. And that word is the word quarantine. Now, if you look up the word quarantine on Google or wherever you get definitions for your words, you'll notice that quarantine has nothing to do with locking away healthy people. Quarantine has nothing to do with putting people away from their families and away from their friends and keeping them isolated. Quarantine has everything to do with taking ill people, people who are sick, people who are contagious, people who are infected, and putting them away somewhere so they don't affect the rest of us. So there's almost been this big, big divide, if you will, or big, you know, like the wool pulled over our eyes, where on one hand, we're being told to socially distance ourselves. With social distancing, I could talk about those words here in just a second. But with, so quarantine, everybody's playing the game is like, I see hashtag quarantine, healthy eating, quarantine group, workout, quarantine workouts, quarantine group, quarantine this, quarantine that. And it's great that people are connecting through media. But one of the things that I'm seeing is this word quarantine just keep popping up and it's not going anywhere. And it concerns me because what we're doing as we use the word quarantine, in my humble opinion, you do not have to agree with this, by the way, is that when we use that word quarantine, what we are saying is that we individually, each of us are sick and we all need to be isolated away from one another, which just isn't true. It's just not the case. If you look at the CDC statistics, like, yes, there are a good number of people who have been infected with the coronavirus. Most of them have recovered. The death rate's under 2% with something like SARS and some of the others that were like up in the 5, 6, 13, 9%, whatever it is. And so we're using this word quarantine, and it's shaping our reality, and it's creating, what it's creating is actually creating fear. And you've seen this in a number of ways. So like the best example I could give is if you've ever checked out in any grocery store ever in your life, you've likely seen the yellow media with the celebrities on the cover and the shocking or the disturbing or the appalling or the gross. And all of those words are meant to create certain reaction within your physiology. The word shocking is much more catching than the word cool. And so as we start to look at and understand that our language literally shapes our reality, and not just from the physical place of like the way that we look at the world or the way that something catches our attention, but it also influences our physiology. And there have been tons of studies. Dr. Joe Dispenza talks about this regularly. And one of the things that he talks about is how what we say about ourselves actually shapes our physiology and affects our physiology. So here is the problem with this word quarantine, is that if we say, I am quarantined, implicit in that is that we are broken and we are sick. Individually, each of us, we are sick, we are broken, and it's just not the case. Like, we're designed to fight diseases and be attacked by viruses and bacteria and make it through them. The problem is the weakened immune system is the issue. And I'm not here to talk about the physiology of the immune response, but what I do want to show you is that just by the words that you think and the words that you say, you can literally affect your physiology. So if you're constantly saying, I am quarantine or we are quarantine, you're essentially saying, I am sick, I'm not worthy, my body does not know how to do its job effectively, what I was designed to do, then you're saying that you're broken. And you're succumbing to the fact that something externally outside of your control is allowed to affect you and ultimately shape how you experience your life. And so as we start to change our words, if we just simply say, instead of saying, I am quarantine, say that I am protecting myself, or I am enjoying time with my family, or I am staying indoors. We don't need to use the word quarantine because you're not sick. None of us are sick. Like, this is, it's a virus. Many of us have been infected with it and people are fine. Yes, there are people dying. I'm not trying to short sell that, but there's lots of things that we can do that are totally within our power. Things as easy as just using different language that will allow us to experience a different reality. And I've seen this time and time again with people I take care of. People who, generally speaking, they talk about things or their ailments that they have, and those ailments, they talk about them as if they own them, as if they're stuck with them or they're broken. And I see this all the time when people say, my back pain or my cancer or my diabetes or whatever the thing is that they're struggling with. And what this does is it actually creates the physiology within the body for those things to go ahead and manifest themselves. So instead of saying, I am broken, I am sick, I am quarantined, why not say, I am healthy, I am happy, I am abundant, I am attracting money, I am an amazing husband, I am an amazing father, I am an amazing mother, I am an amazing athlete, I am. And as you start to change your language, what you will see is that it will literally change your physiology. And like I said, Dr. Joe Dispenza has done the studies on this to prove that what you think about and the language you use can literally influence your physiology for the positive or for the negative. So as we watch the news and we see all of these sensational types of language coming up, regardless of whether the news is right or wrong, that's not the conversation of this. The point is that the words that they're using, shocking, breaking news, terrifying, deadly, virus, quarantine, it's creating a physiology within us that is a fear physiology. And when you're in fear physiology, my friends, you cannot express health. Your body, when you have a stress response, literally shuts down lymphocytes, which are designed to start to fight off infections for you. So if you're constantly in a fear stress state, you may not feel stressed. You don't have to necessarily feel it. This is all subcortical, but those words literally change your physiology. Another perfect example of this is like similar studies where they take pictures of, you know, like a happy baby versus a snake or a spider, and they flash these pictures on the screen. And what they find is that before the person who sees the images realizes consciously that they've seen the image of the snake or the spider or the baby or the thing that's happy or whatever it is, that their brain actually has a response much, much faster than what the person can actually sense that response. And so what I'm telling you is that from a language perspective, if we start to change your language, you're literally going to influence your physiology for the positive, for the negative. So what does this mean? This means there's a number of things that you can do. Number one is just turn off the news. Seriously, like, it's negative. You're not getting anything that you wouldn't get from social media or from your friends. If something big happens, like, you're gonna hear about it. We're just too connected for you to not hear about it. So turn off the news. It's negative. It's sensational. Doesn't matter whether you agree with it or whether you're Fox or CNBC or MSNBC or whatever it is, just turn off the news. It's simple as that, because that language is affecting your physiology. And the more fearful you are, it's going to negatively affect your body's ability to heal itself. Okay, so that's the first thing. And then here's the next part of this, is that if we turn off the news, we start to focus on more positive things. One of the places that you can go with this, and I started practicing this back in chiropractic school, thanks to one of my mentors, Dr. Gilles LaMarche, where he talked to me about how language can shape your reality. And so here's what I've realized with how language can shape your reality, is that there are words in your vocabulary right now today, mine as well, that we need to completely eliminate. Now, this is easier said than done, all right? But I'm gonna give you a couple examples of what I'm talking about and then give you replacements for what you can do. And these are things that I've tried to consciously do. I'll give you the tip though. If you're looking to actually implement what I'm about to show you into your life, the biggest way for you to do that is to start with the text message that you send. You will notice that the text messages that you send have each of these limiting terminologies in them, and you can find ways to get rid of them. And as you get rid of them in your written text, you'll likely get rid of them in your spoken text as well, which I believe is super important to creating the life that you want. Like, yes, you guys know that I'm about chiropractic care. You know that I'm about the brain, but also there's a big part of this is like people just aren't being told how to get their bodies out of this stressful, fearful state. And one of the most important ways, one of the most powerful ways to do that is to start to change your language. So cut the word quarantine completely from your language. Just stop saying it. Find something more empowering to say. Next, you can do a number of things. The word just, okay? So I find myself doing this regularly. I've likely done it on the podcast already because it is ingrained within me. It's the hardest one to break. I catch myself every single day sending it in text messages. The word just is a minimizing word. And it does you no good to use it unless you're talking about justification. Like, is this a just or unjust thing? If you're not using it in that context, you should take it out. Let me give you some examples as to why. If I tell people that I'm just going to adjust you, what I'm essentially saying is that it's really not that important. It's just an adjustment, which could be further from the truth. In the world that I live in, chiropractic adjustments are the most important thing that someone could have in their lives. Yes, you can eat healthy. Yes, you can meditate. Yes, you can exercise. Yes, you can take all your supplements. Yes, you can get out in the sun. Yes, you can ground. Yes, you can worry about Wi-Fi and 5G and all the things that are all around us all the time anyway. However, if you don't control or you don't work with the master control center of your body, which is your nervous system, then you are not going to experience life the way that you could. And so if I say just an adjustment, it minimizes the very thing that I do, the very thing that I stand for at the core of my lifestyle. Like if I literally had to choose, like one of the things that I could do for my family for the rest of their lives and have to eliminate everything else, it would certainly be, I would get rid of eating healthy. I would get rid of exercise. I would absolutely 100% make sure that they were well adjusted with chiropractic care. Hands down. You don't have to agree with me. This is my opinion. This is my podcast. I'm just telling you, I use the word just right there. I'm telling you. So this is it. You got to catch yourself and take these words out because they're minimizing words. All right. So as we remove the word just, you will start to open up a place of power for yourself, a place of power where you can speak to people with more authority, with more certainty, in whatever realm you're speaking to them in. The next one is the word but. Now, Dr. Gilles LaMarche is the one. He's a chiropractor, or used to be a chiropractor, works for Life University, one of my biggest mentors. And here is what he has taught me about the word but, is that but is, it negates everything that comes before it. So let me give you an example of this. I love your shirt, but I hate your haircut. What I just did, again, I'm using the word just, what I did is I said, I love your shirt, but, and that negates everything that I said before. So as soon as I say the word but, it takes away the I love your shirt part, and all we're going to focus on now is a negative. I hate your hair. And so instead of saying the word but, replace it with the word and. And this will create a place of power for you. Now, this seems like semantics, but I notice that I do this all the time and it works wonders when I do it really, really well. So I love that you have this idea and I think it needs a few tweaks. Is a totally different, totally more empowering conversation just by changing one word of that sentence. I really, really think that we should go this route, but the ideas are backwards. Instead of, I really, really think we should go this route and the ideas are just a little bit backwards. So using the word and instead of the word but, huge, will be a game changer for you. I work on that, like I said, I work on this stuff daily and it has really shaped the way my reality looks. The world, like it just creates a more positive world for me in general. And so the next one is the word try. If you're using the word try, I'm going to encourage you to consider the fact that you can't try to do anything. And what I mean by this is that you can't try to take a pen from someone. You either will take it or you won't take it. And so instead of saying try, say I will give my best, or you could say I will or I won't. And this is going to lead right into the next one. So cutting that word try out of your vocabulary completely. I'll try. No, either just say if you're going to do it or you're not going to do it. And if you fail at it, that's fine. But at least you gave an effort. You said, I will, instead of I'm just trying, because trying gives you an excuse to fail, which is again, in the negative, it influences your physiology, it influences your neurology. And so as we take the word try out of our vocabulary, what we'll do is you'll see that when you speak in terms of affirmations and will versus won't, things will completely change for you. Here's another one. This is probably one of my favorites. The word maybe. Instead of, if you're using the word maybe, then you might as well start telling people no. It's hard to do. I hear this all the time in our office. Maybe we'll get under care. Let me talk to my husband first and maybe I'll call you back. Every time I know that the maybe is a no. When you're telling me maybe, you're not committed to yourself, you're not committed to me, you're not committed to a yes, you're committed to a no. And so anytime you hear maybe, take it as a no. Jack Johnson has a song about this where he says pretty much maybe always means no. The word maybe means nothing. Start living in a land of yeses and nos and own them. I guarantee you it will empower you in much better ways. And then you won't have people who feel misled or feel let down. And they're going to be hurt in the beginning because some people really, really struggle with the fact that when you tell them no, they don't know what to do with it because they've never heard the word no straight up before. And so this is one of the things that I've really learned to do and we've implemented as a team here in our office is that when somebody calls and tries, we get people all the time an email on the phone who try to sell us things, like sell us social media packages or whatever it may be. And so one of the things that we have to do with them is tell them, instead of saying, maybe Dr. Daniel will get back to you, give us your info, we just say, no, we're not interested. It bothers people and they feel like it's so blunt. But the truth is that if you live in a land of yeses or nos, your life will be much, much easier and you won't have to worry about the bandwidth of giving people maybes and then them bugging you again and again and again. Just say yes or just say no and live with your answer. It's not that difficult. So take out the word maybe, just completely eliminate it from your vocabulary. Instead of a maybe, it's a yes or no. And I'm gonna have you consider that if you're saying maybe to anything right now, what you really mean is no, I'm not that committed to it. So instead of trying, just say I won't. Instead of saying maybe, just say no, I'm not going to do it because I'm not committed to it. And as you start to change the way you think about some of this stuff, maybe then instead of saying yes or instead of saying maybe, you'll say no, I'm not committed, or you'll give yourself the permission to say I'm 100% committed. I'm going to do this because this is the right thing to do, whatever that scenario is for you. Next, the word honestly. I use this sometimes. I really, really don't like it. I try to catch myself, but it's a more difficult one for me because I haven't had a lot of practice with it up until recently. But the word honestly, like if you're saying honestly before the thing that you're about to say, then you're basically telling people that everything you said before that was likely not true. And so instead of saying honestly or seriously or truthfully, just say the truth and just tell the truth all the time. This gets back to the try and back to the maybe is that if we're living in the land of maybes, then, and you're always using the word honestly, then you're probably not being truthful in the first place. So just stop using the word honestly and just tell people the truth. If you have to convince people that honestly, this is what I think, then there's obviously other stuff that you're lying about. So instead of using that word honestly at the beginning of your sentences or seriously at the beginning of your sentences, just say the thing that's true and just tell the truth and own it and be blunt. I guarantee you changing your language in this way is going to open up so many places in your life where you can experience it at a higher level. And then the last one, this may be one of the most important ones, is the one of want versus don't want. Now you've heard me talk about law of attraction on other episodes of the podcast. So again, if you don't know what law of attraction is, I would encourage you to go back and listen to that episode. But a brief example of law of attraction is this, is that what I think about in my mind gets put out into the universe's energy and it comes back to me with whatever I said I want or didn't want. Here's the trick though, is that your brain and the universe and the collective consciousness or energy or God or whatever you want to call it doesn't know the difference between want and don't want. And so what do I mean by this is that if I say I don't want to be late to work today, then there's no difference in my mind of it doesn't know the word don't want. And so what's going to hear and what's going to program is late for work today, late for work today, late for work today, and then that manifests. How often do you do this in your life where you say, oh, I don't want this to happen, I don't want this to happen, I don't want this to happen, and those exact things happen? It's because you program your brain to look for those things because of the nature of using the word don't want. Because it triggers you to look for the negative all the time. And if you're constantly looking for the negative, then you can't find the positive. That's just the fact of the matter. So just start saying what you want. If you want to be on time or you don't want to be late, instead of saying, I don't want to be late, say, I want to be on time. If you want the promotion at work, say, I hope, I just say, I want the promotion or I want this thing, instead of saying what you don't want. The law of attraction is huge. It will change the game for you. I could give you hundreds and hundreds of examples of this, but I also want to keep the podcast relatively short today. And so I want to leave you with this, is that as you start to change your vocabulary, there's one other thing that you can do. And this gets back to talking about how our language shapes our reality. So whatever you hear people tell you, or whatever you tell yourself for that matter, I think you need to start asking the question. I do this for myself many, many times on a daily basis. And I ask other people this as well. I ask the question, is that true? Is that true? It's going to be too hard to do a podcast episode this week, or I won't ever be able to get that person that I want to interview on the podcast. Is that true? Well, I don't know if it's true or whether it's not true. So since I don't know, I can't say that it's going to be hard. So I need to, as I ask myself the question, is that true? Then if I don't have an answer for that, then I can't say definitively that it's true. Is it going to be too hard? Well, have you done it yet? No, I haven't done it yet. So how do you know it's going to be too hard? It may actually be really, really easy once you do it because you're excited about it and you have some passion and some energy behind it. So too hard, too long, too soon, too scary, won't happen, whatever it is. If you can't say yes, 100% that's true, then you got to start changing your language because you don't know whether it's true or not true. So Chuck Klosterman, he wrote this book called Sex, Drugs, and Cocoa Puffs. And I think it's a perfect time to read just one little passage from his book. It's an amazing book if you haven't read it. If you heard of Chuck Klosterman, he's great. But here's what I wanted to read. And this goes back right into our conversation about talking about, is that true? And so here is this little passage. I'm going to read it straight from his book. Again, it's called Sex, Drugs, and Cocoa Puffs. It's right here. I would encourage you to check it out. It's an older book, but it's still amazing nonetheless. So here's what it says. It says, life is chock full of lies, but the biggest lie is math. That's particularly clear in the discipline of probability, a field of study that's completely and wholly fake. When push comes to shove, when you truly get down to the core essence of existence, there is only one mathematical possibility. Everything is 50-50. Either something will happen or something will not happen. When you flip a coin, what are the odds of it coming up heads? 50-50. Either it will be heads or it will not. When you roll a six-sided die, what are the odds that you'll roll a three? 50-50. You'll either get a three or you won't. That's reality. Don't fall into the childish, it's one in six logic crap. That is precisely what all your adolescent authority figures want you to believe. That's how they enslave you. That's how they stole your conviction. And that's why you'll never be happy. Either you will roll a three or you will not. There are no other alternatives. The future has no memory. Certain things can be impossible and certain things can be guaranteed, but there is no sliding scale for maybe. Maybe something will happen or maybe it won't. That's all there is. What are the chances that your sister will die from ovarian cancer next summer? 50-50. Either she will die from ovarian cancer or she won't. What are the chances that your sister will become America's most respected underwater welding specialist? 50-50. It will happen or it won't. There are two possibilities, and both are plausible and unknown. The odds are 2-1. The facts are irrefutable. Quasi-intellectuals like to claim that math is spiritual. They're lying. Math is not religion. Math is anti-religion because it splinters the gravity of life's only imperative equation. Either something is true or it isn't. Do or do not. There is no try. Love it. Chuck Klosterman, you're amazing. And this, my friends, is what I want to leave you with, is that your language shapes your reality. And as you start to change your language, you will change your physiology. And as you start to change your physiology, your physical energy in your body will change. And as your physical energy in your body will change, your mood will start to change. Your memory will start to change. Your relationships will start to change. Your businesses will start to change. Everything that matters to you, of importance to you, will start to change if you start to change your language. And then always remember that your language is controlled through your nervous system, through your brain, and if you don't have a healthy brain and nervous system through chiropractic care, then you're likely missing the foundational premise of this all in the first place. Nonetheless, you can change your language. I'm giving you exact tips on how to do it. Start today. Let me know how it goes. Reach out if you have questions. I have tons and tons more examples of this. I love every single one of you. I appreciate you. We'll come out to you live again next week. Peace.
Thank you for listening to The Nexus Podcast with your host, Dr. Daniel Kimbley. If you're interested in receiving more information about optimizing your brain and nervous system, check out our website at www.nexusfamilychiropractic.com.